Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
You can open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29. In Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 14, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. "Everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Four characters going on. There are four things we're going to look at briefly here as we study through this. First of all, Jesus was on a retreat with the brothers, and they came down from having a great time, the Mountain of Transfiguration. They had just heard the voice of God. Things were going great, and at the bottom of the mountain, his disciples were arguing with religious people. So we had distracting religious people. And basically what they were doing, they were poking fun at Jesus' disciples. They're like, "You know, this man brought his son to you, Jesus, but your guys can't do anything about it." So we hear all this rhetoric about you being the Son of God, but why can't they heal him? And you know, the brothers were down there, and one thing I want us to understand, distraction is a tool of the devil. Now, let me say that again. Distraction is a tool of the devil. And I think sometimes we can get distracted and we lose sight of what the battle is about. We're going to talk about that some more. Then because they were distracted, the disciples were defeated. They got defeated. They got discouraged because they were trying to heal the young man. They couldn't get it done. So, you know, one disciple tried. Another disciple tried. They were trying to drive out that demon. Then somebody said, "Thomas, won't you come on up and drive it out?" Thomas said, "I doubt it. Mm-mm. I'm not doing that. Nope." So they were discouraged. They were defeated. And then the father was there. The father was discouraged. The father loved his son. He had tried to help his son. He was trying to take care of his son. He said, "You know, at least let me get him to Jesus." He gets him over to Jesus, and Jesus on a retreat, so he's hanging out with Jesus' disciples and not getting the job done. But you know what's beautiful about God? Divine intervention. It's amazing when God's Spirit shows up and does what it needs to do. First of all, let's understand the spiritual battle. Then the greatest challenge with believers is that we don't clearly see evil. In verse 11 of Ephesians 6, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Satan is always scheming. He's always trying to get God's people off track. In verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." We spend too much time fighting each other. We spend too much time debating with each other, arguing with each other, nitpicking about this. "We don't like how you said that." And the devil just sitting in the corner laughing. Because if you can get God's people all tied up, about their opinions, about their ideas, more people are on their way to hell. We got to start figuring out who is the true enemy. The person sitting by you is not your enemy. Listen, I'm not your enemy. I'm just a preacher. I'm not your enemy. I'm not trying to make your life difficult, trying to make you miserable. I am only trying to point you to Jesus. Your small group leader is not your enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your children are not your enemies. You had them. They're not your enemies. The people at the job, they're not your enemy. People of a different race, they aren't your enemy. See, until we see evil clearly, we are going to be fighting the wrong person. Just distracted with the wrong thing. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I think for us as Christians, we don't understand the spiritual battle in the cosmic world. You know, right now, Satan, he has his own TV show, Lucifer. You know, he's a mascot for teams. You know, yeah, the demons, we laugh about it, we joke about the little demons. We have downgraded what is happening in the spiritual realm. But if we were to open our Bibles, and if there was some way we could just tear back the cosmos and look, there is a war that is waging. And Satan's scheme has been to distract God's people so he could derail God's plan. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 14, this is a powerful, powerful account of what happened in the spiritual realm. So Daniel, a prophet, was praying and praying and praying and praying and fasting and praying and praying. And then it's something, you know, the prayer seemed like it's not getting answered. Then 21 days later, an angel shows up. And it's like, from the day you set your heart on doing what is right, your prayer has been answered. But I was tied up fighting the prince of Persia. I was tied up. So your prayers were delayed. It is not just Satan. There are demons, and there are specific demons assigned to cities and regions. There's some spiritual forces at work in Atlanta, Georgia. Anytime you send your child to college and they get killed, Clark Atlanta, what in the world is that about? And then her roommate plotted against her with a boyfriend? If y'all don't think that's demonic, it's time to wake up, church. It's time. Some of us are scared to share our faith. People are lost. People are doing stuff that is mind-blowing. And until we realize it is pure evil, we won't understand what's going on. And in the African-American community, there was a point in time, grandma took us to church, our aunt took us to church. Even if the men weren't around, somebody was holding it down spiritually. These days, grandma's busy. Aunts are busy. And there are people who are turning away from that spiritual connection with God. And when the older, mature people stop pointing the younger ones to God, people get confused. And I want to show you this YouTube clip I found, because I want you to see what's really going on out here. So because of her hurt, I don't know if you called it her disappointment with church, trauma, issues that she had to battle with, now she's turning to witchcraft. But you know what's really deep about this? As I looked at the responses on YouTube, if that works for you, that's good. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that's, I understand. I'm glad you found peace. It's people now saying, it's okay. If that works for you, it's okay. Out of 20 comments, it was maybe one person that said, this is wrong. Out of 20 comments. So it's not alarming that it's just what she is thinking, but now it's being encouraged. If that's what you want to believe, that's okay. And notice what she said. She was hurt. Let me tell you, to my young adults, if you live long enough, you're going to get hurt. That's going to be disappointment. That's going to be heartache. Unfortunately, some of us are going to go through some very traumatic situations. How are we going to deal with it? How are we going to deal with it? This young lady that you see here in the picture, I met her this summer as I was up, Sean and I were up in Delaware, and I was teaching this class on human communication at Dell Tech, and she was there. She was there, and, you know, the class would talk and have conversations about life, and she was always sharing about the things she had gone through, difficult things. And she started getting deep in class. I said, let me see you after class. I said, it sounds like you got some stuff that's going on. She said, yeah, she's trying to get over. I'm like, okay, listen, why don't you just come to church with me? I got some women I want you to meet. Note to my brothers. When women start getting very open and vulnerable, they need another woman to talk to. Okay? Why do I say that? Because there are some things that only another woman can really help her with. Because I did not want her getting distracted and me feeling sorry for her, because ultimately there are things she needed to work with. She met with Sean, she met with Amaryllis, and they studied with her, and today Maddie is getting baptized. She has some serious church hurt. There's some weird stuff that happened to her by quote-unquote church leaders. That was just ridiculous. But what I appreciate about my wife, she took her to the Bible. She took her to the Word of God. Let me just share this right here. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. It says, for such people are false prophets. This is Paul talking about the false prophets he had to deal with in apostles while he was there in Corinth. Deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Even for those of us who are trying to remain in the Christian faith, there are false prophets. There are people who teach lies. So, wow, how are you going to know a lie from the truth? Let me let you in on something right here. Anyone or any organization that undermines the Word of God, if somebody tells you something and they can't show it to you in the Bible, it's simply an opinion. And you can, hey, if it may be good advice, it may be bad advice. It's simply opinion. Listen, there's enough in the Bible to keep all of us busy. There are 77 one another scriptures. I mean, if you feel like, well, I need to get deeper, go to the one another scriptures. If you can live those out, you're doing good. Anyone or any organization that undermines the Word of God and the power of Jesus, now there are religions that are trying to downplay who Jesus is. There are major, quote-unquote, Christian religions. Well, Jesus was an archangel. Jesus was simply another good man. Well, you know, I was studying the Bible with a gentleman not too long ago, and he was letting me know that, you know, Jesus was just a man like he's a man. Basically saying he and Jesus are equal. And he's sitting there to my, I thought you were going to cook today, because normally when I come to your house, you cook. And I'm looking at him, if you're Jesus, make your own bread. I mean, aren't y'all equal? Come on. You provide. But, you know, it's so sad because, and this guy grew up going to church. He grew up in a church. Let me tell you something. We got to stop being so distracted by religious people. And we got to understand what the Bible says. You know, my next point is here. How can I say this as diplomatically as possible? There are too many defeated disciples. the disciples were downcast. Oh, we can't do this. This is too hard. This is too tough. This is too, man, what are we going to do? In Mark chapter 6, in verse 6, as Jesus was talking to his disciples and sending those brothers out, he gave them authority over all evil spirits. They already had the power. He had given them the authority to cast out demons. But when they focused on themselves and they got caught up in the contemporary teachings of that day, in the contemporary teachings, a mute spirit in the eyes of the Jewish exorcist was that it was impossible to cast out a demon if it didn't say what his name was. You had to call the demon by his name for it to be cast out. I'm sure you remember the story in Mark chapter 5. Jesus asked the demon, what is your name? Legion. You got to go. Legion left. But in this belief system, it's possible. It was possible to cast out demons. But because the boy was mute, it's like, we don't know what to call him. We don't know what to call him. What are we going to do here? And they didn't understand that they had weapons in their arsenal to deal with this demon. See, I think sometimes while we are discouraged as disciples, we're not fighting with the right weapons. Sometimes while we're defeated as disciples, we're not using the full arsenal that God has given us. I think what we got to get back to, 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. To demolish strongholds. What is that? What is a stronghold? Let's look at that. Stronghold. This passage shows us that spiritual strongholds are arguments, lofty opinions, thoughts that are raised against the knowledge of God or are held in esteem over him. Strongholds are rooted in pride because they rely on the self. They lead to a prideful heart, unhealthy thought patterns, habitual sins that we just can't seem to overcome. Anything that we trust in besides the Lord can become a spiritual stronghold. So if we need a drink to get us through today, that's a stronghold. If we need it, we got to smoke a little weed to help us make it through the night, that's a stronghold. Cigarettes, whatever, sex. Well, I'm so depressed as a single person, I just need to, that's a stronghold. Anything that we depend on, that we replace with Jesus, is a stronghold. But for Christians, we don't have to be defeated disciples. We got to use the right weapons. You know, one of our weapons is the Word of God. The Word, how often should we read our Bibles? Well, some may say, I don't need to read my Bible every day. Well, Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone. Matthew 4:4, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. How often do you eat? Jesus compared the Word of God to bread. And we all can understand that because some of us are ready to eat right now. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. We cannot demolish a stronghold. We don't know our Bibles. We got to get serious about reading about, and I'm not talking to those who are studying the Bible. I'm talking about the Christians. Brothers and sisters who say, I am a disciple of Christ. If you're too busy to read your Bible daily, you are too busy. Too busy. Because what will happen if you don't stay in the Bible, if we don't stay in the Bible, we've been bombarded with so much garbage day after day after day, we won't be able to distinguish a lie from the truth. We got to that's a weapon to demolish a stronghold. The Bible. Another weapon to demolish a stronghold is discipleship. Living it out. Okay, I can read the Bible. The Bible said Luke 9:23, I need to deny myself. But if I don't ever deny myself, what am I doing? You got to put it into practice. Some of us think just showing up on Sunday is going to cut it. You got to live this out. You will not be able to fight in the spiritual battle if you are not living out discipleship. And I'm not talking about joining a discipleship program that you show up once a month. I'm talking about daily, daily, daily. What does that mean? That means we prioritize our relationship with Jesus. Parents, it's time for us to get serious about our relationship with God. The failures of so many young adults not loving God, not loving the church, because they didn't see that at home. They didn't see it. Education is good. I love education. I'm an educator part-time. I love education. But let me tell you, that's not going to be enough for our children. Creating an ideal life. We make everything wonderful and beautiful. They got beautiful bedrooms, and we take them. They still got Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know if they still got whatever. What is it called now? Where we take them? They still got Chuck E. Cheese? Them same little balls that they had from the 80s? I mean. Chuck E. lost weight? Okay. Not Chuck E., just Chuck. Chuck Cheese, okay. And I want to commend us for really trying to give our children what we did not have. But too many of us are putting our commitment to our family above our commitment to Jesus. Too many of us are putting our commitment to our family above our commitment to Jesus. And we don't want our children to feel any discomfort. We want to get them home. We don't want them to come out during the week because they got school. I can't go to midweek because they got to sleep. Let me tell you, give your children tools so they can fight this spiritual battle. What do I mean? Make sure your children have relationships with other spiritual families. Got to spend time with other spiritual family. They need to build relationships with other spiritual disciples. They need mentors. They need older brothers, older sisters. And praise God that you love them, but you're going to have to surround them with people that's a few years ahead of them so they can have a fighting chance in this world. Because Satan is coming after them. And if we don't prepare them, they're not going to be able to stand up under it. Just give them the tools. Now, once they become adults, what they do with it is on them. But give your children the tools, because the world is lost. Now, for those studying the Bible, I know some of us studying the Bible, it's time to be humble before the Word of God. It's time to be humble. You got to get in a fight. You got to realize, you know what? I got to do my part. I got to get in this, because you can't fight if you don't have the tools to fight. Some of us love to get together and study the Bible and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and then walk out and don't change nothing. This is not theology. This is not theology. All I'm saying is, if we are going to be in the spiritual battle, we got to understand we're in a battle. We got to imitate Wonder Woman. She knew where she was going. She knew she was going to fight. And I'm just saying, with where our community is, what's happening right here in this city, it is time for Christians to take a stand. Let's deal with these strongholds. But you can't deal with it without the Spirit of God. So some of us are studying. We're at the point of decision. Okay, do I want to go to heaven or hell? Well, I need some time to think about that. Well, I know I'm lost, but I'm not that lost. Lost is lost. Whether you're 5 minutes away or 5 hours away, lost is lost. Well, I don't know if this thing is really real, this church thing. I don't know, man. At any point in time, the rug may be pulled for money. Oh, it's going to be pulled out. You're going to be disappointed. Your feelings going to be hurt. It's going to happen. I can promise you that. But Jesus is real. So we're not trying to convert you to us or to convert you to the path. We're trying to get you on the path as you walk towards Jesus. That's all we're trying to do. Get you on the path as you walk towards Jesus. You know, another interesting character was a discouraged father. He was discouraged. You know, but he loved his son. He loved his son. He had been dealing with this from childhood. He was trying to get help. He took him to church, took him to the brothers. But he was honest about his spiritual condition. See, because I don't know if you caught it here, but if you go back to where we were before in Mark chapter 9, Jesus, in verse 21, Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," his answered. "It's often throwing him the fire water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help." If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "Yeah, I'm a believer, and I know you can do it, and I know you can. Whoa, yeah, I love you, Jesus." No, he wasn't doing all that stuff. Some of us we're copying the religious world. We say the right things, but it's not what's in our heart. What do you say? "Help me, Lord. I do believe, but there's a part of me that does not believe. But help me overcome it." That's one of my most favorite passages in the Bible. Because there have been times in my Christian life, I read it in the Bible, I know it's right, but I'm struggling with this thing. You want me to have faith. Lord, I want to have faith. I really want to believe you're going to come through. But there's a part of me that's wrestling. That's a part of me that just does not believe. Anybody ever been there before? But we got to have those honest conversations with God. That, you know what, I am wrestling through these scriptures. I'm wrestling with trying to make sure that my heart is where it needs to be. And then I love it, because what did Jesus do here? When the man was honest, in verse 25, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Notice what Jesus did. I love Jesus. Jesus said, they don't know your name. I know you're deaf and mute. You got to go. All the brothers had to say, "Deaf and mute spirit, go." You got to go. You don't belong here. But I love the simplicity. Man, I love the simplicity of Jesus. What happened? The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. Divine intervention. Divine intervention. But I want all of us to understand, and I don't want to make light of anyone's struggle, anyone's situation, anyone's hardship, because Lord knows I've had my own hardships and challenges. But there are some things only Jesus is going to be able to fix. There are some situations, money won't fix it. Your wisdom won't fix it. Your friends can't fix it. The church can't fix it, but Jesus can fix it. And, you know, we have to have the faith and trust and humility, and to believe that our God knows what he's doing. Because what I struggle with is patience. I would like for it to be fixed. Now, I just prayed about it. Boom, miracles are happening. But we have to get to a place where we are trusting that God is in control. So Jesus had a little time with his brothers. You know, sometimes when you are working with a group of Christians, you're trying to help them, and you're trying to help them get to the next level spiritually, you got to have a little family talk. So Jesus pulled the guys aside. He took them away from the crowd. And they say, "Jesus, why couldn't we drive it out?" Jesus says, "Some things only change through prayer and fasting." I wonder if they had gotten so reliant on themselves they weren't praying. You know, there are some situations in our lives that we will go through, only prayer will change it. I'm talking about the continued prayer to believe that God will intervene in a powerful way. And what we got to do as we go into 2020, I want us to spend more time in prayer with God and with one another. I believe there's power when brothers and sisters get together and pray. See, we need to put a list together of what we're looking for God to do, because prayer makes a difference. I'm going to ask for your prayers as I go into the final phase of my dissertation. I have a big meeting on Wednesday. If you could, no, it's not my defense, but it's what I got to do to get ready for it. So if you could put me in your prayers, because I really want to use this degree to help more people to know God. And I love it, my topic, church and public school partnerships. And my research has shown that the church, especially the African-American church, has always been involved with education. What would happen if more church disciples got involved with public schools? How many lives could be changed? You know, Sean and I have had a very interesting, inspiring, challenging walk with God. Next year makes about 30 years of being in the full-time ministry. About 30 years. And I appreciate our heart for God. Let me tell you, in the 90s, we were living in New York City, and we saw the cultural battle. What's interesting, if you live in New York City, New York City goes through first what the rest of the country eventually go through. I mean, that's just moving so fast. So in the 90s, we saw what was happening. People were turning from God. There were so many unchurched people right there in the Bronx and Harlem. People were prioritizing the world, just wanting to work. People were busy Sunday mornings. I remember growing up as a kid, only thing you did Sunday morning, you went to church, then you went home. There was nowhere to go. Basically, everything was closed. Oh, you must be old. No. No, I'm not that old. I'm just saying. Listen, I don't need you up on the front row laughing. I'm just saying, I saw it in the 90s. People started playing organized sports on Sunday morning. Basketball leagues, traveling teams. So what happened is that sports started competing with Sunday school. There are a lot of people who stopped going to church because they really thought little Billy was going to the NFL. Billy ain't going to the NFL. But they put everything into it like he was going to go. And they stopped going to church. Then at the same time, I saw this. We started to give adoration and glorification to single motherhood. I mean, we understand situations happen. But in the 90s, it became a badge of honor for dad not to be involved. And, you know, we have songs about single moms, and we have all these special, and we're just doing all this. And it was like, where's the family? Do we still need men? I saw this transpire in the 90s. And then lo and behold, the transition of hip-hop. I remember the days when it was Houdini. Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, the ones you can depend on. Y'all don't remember Friends? And the greatest rapper of all time. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Go, Hammer, go, 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 go. Sugar Hill Gang, the hip hop, the hippity, the hippity, hip hop, you don't stop. It was just fun. It was entertaining. And then it was this transition came about. It became about violence. It became about strip clubs. I think the first group to really go there was the 2 Live Crew out of Miami. They just went places. Like, what in the world? Then the West Coast guys came on board. Ooh. Then finally, Dirty South showed up, and it's sure enough dirty. So I remember Our brother K.O. was studying the Bible. K.O. is a producer. And I said, K.O., I'm so glad you're ready to become a Christian. And let me just be honest with you. I think we're counting the cost. Y'all made a mess of hip-hop. Y'all need to help straighten this thing out. Y'all need to help straighten this thing out. And I know in our, for those who've been around, we had these A&E conferences in the past where we prayed for people. And we prayed that people would start seeing Jesus. Everything that have breath, praise the Lord. Worship Christ with the best of your portions. I know I won't forget all he's done. He's the strength in this race I run. Every time I look up, I see God's faithfulness, and it shows just how much he is miraculous. I can't keep it to myself. I can't sit here and be still. Everybody, I will tell till the whole world is healed. King of kings, Lord of lords, all these things he has in store. From the rich to the poor, all are welcome through the door. You won't ever be the same when you call on Jesus' name. Listen to these words I'm saying. Jesus, save me, now I'm saying. And I know God is the force that picked me up. This is a psalm. And it's not from the book of Psalms. And my son said, Dad, you ought to hear these lyrics. And I'm just glad he's getting back in the fight. Thank you for your prayers. I'm glad he's getting back in the fight. Now, to my older, spiritual, separated from the world Christians. To those of us who are stooped in our self-righteousness. How dare that pagan talk about God? Don't you know his life? Who is he to talk about God? And it's been a big thing going on. Like, how can Kanye West do gospel music? Who gives him the right? That crossover artist just trying to make a quick buck. Let me break it down to you. I don't know him. I look forward to meeting him one day. But in the Old Testament, during God's people were having a challenging time, there's a story about a man named Balaam who had a donkey. And Balaam was struggling and not listening as the Spirit of God was trying to talk to Balaam. You know what God did? The donkey talked. This was before Shrek. I'm serious. In the Old Testament, a donkey talked. And what's even more fascinating, Balaam had a conversation with him. They were having a conversation together. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, God can use anybody at any time to get the word out. The world is lost. And if God has chosen to you, Kanye, I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to have an attitude with Kanye. I'm just going to say, really? Is that what's helping you spiritually? Praise God. Are you getting back on track spiritually? Praise God. Let me tell you, this is for old, and I know, those of us who are older now, we're more refined, and we want to protect the gospel. Listen, we need to continue praying and fasting for God to use any person or their platform to help people to see him more clearly. Whomever God wants to use. Would I have chosen him? Mm-mm. But I'm not God. I'm not God. All I'm saying is God himself loves us so much that God is going to say, God is going to do his work. God is going to reach a generation that has walked away from him. God is looking down on our community and seeing people are becoming Wiccans, witches, getting caught up in Islam, getting caught up in all this stuff that is not from him. And he says, you know what? I love them so much. They want to listen to this one. They want to listen to that one. They're intrigued by this. Well, I'm going to put my words there in hopes that people will repent. As we prepare for communion, I want us to understand as Christians, We got to see evil clearly. And the only way we're going to be able to do it is we got to open our Bibles. And we got to realize that it's not about us fighting other people. Just like God uses us, Satan is using people. We got to see who the true enemy is. And whenever God starts using somebody, we don't need to put them in a corner and make them prove their righteousness to us. We just need to say, praise God. Hey, share your faith. Share your faith. If you want to uphold you, amen. And when you blow it, we're going to disciple you and help you get back on track, but stay in the fight. And I pray this week we will spend some time in prayer and praying specifically for this city. What Satan is doing to these young adults, it's just ridiculous. But let's be a light. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. And God, we thank you for your Bible. God, we thank you so much for your Son. And God, we just thank you for this opportunity to look at truth, dear God. Heavenly Father, we want to be weapons of righteousness. Heavenly Father, we want to be used by you. Father, this is brutal. We're fighting for the souls of men and women, dear God. Give us the wisdom. Give us the humility, God. Give us the faith, the grace to just walk with your Spirit. God, we pray. We pray for Kanye. We pray that you will work through him, God. We pray for his relationship with you and whatever it may be right now, God. We pray that you will surround him around disciples, dear God. Put men and women in his life to help him to continue to walk, God. And I pray, God, that the people who follow him, the people on his platform, will think about you and start looking for you, God. And understand it's okay to pray. And it's okay to be a Christian. Not spiritual, not just a good person, but a Christian who loves Jesus. And God, I pray for those of us who struggle when we hear certain things like this, that we won't become like the Pharisees, God. We won't become like the religious leaders, but that our hearts will just trust that your Spirit is moving. We pray, God, you'll be with us right now as we remember your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.